It is just past 7:33 in the morning. The show is up front. My name is Brian Edwards-Tiekert. Week ago today, California Highway Patrol officers started chasing a teenager in a car in Oakland. They say the car was wanted for felony evasion. The translation of that is the car had previously driven recklessly while fleeing police. What ensued was a high-speed chase. It lasted a little over 20 minutes, in which time the driver of that car injured two bystanders and killed Marvin Booker, a extremely popular teacher at Castlemont High. Now, I want you to keep in mind that in the police account of this chase, the driver was not doing anything that threatened anyone until state police started chasing him. Which gets to a running debate in Oakland and elsewhere. Should cops do high-speed chases at all? Joining us to talk about the history and the policy debates currently playing out in Oakland, Jose Formoso. He covers road safety, transportation, and public health for the nonprofit newsroom, The Oakland Side. Good morning to you.
Good morning to you.
Thanks for joining us. We also have his coworker, Roslyn Romero, who covers public safety for the same outlet. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us. Rosalind, why don't we start with you? I think we should probably set the table for everyone who's not immersed in Oakland politics. What were state police doing running license plates in Oakland in the first place?
Yeah, so CHP has actually been in Oakland for over a year now. It started out in February of last year when California Governor Gavin Newsom announced that he would deploy 120 CHP officers to Oakland and the East Bay to help in crime fighting. So he said that this so-called CHP surge operation was going to crack down on sideshows, shoplifting, and just all of these other crimes that he believed that OPD, the Oakland Police Department, was not adequately addressing on its own. So since then, we've had CHP's presence here in Oakland. And, you know, CHP, because they are technically not, you know, they're completely independent from OPD. They're a completely separate agency, and they follow Governor Newsom's orders. They are not beholden to the same pursuit rules that the Oakland Police Department has. And they also initiate pursuits, you know, completely separately from the Oakland Police Department. And so, unfortunately, last week, one of those pursuits ended in tragedy.
The surge in state police in Oakland, this was, however, welcomed by the administration at the time of now recalled Mayor Sheng Tao. Have we heard any glimmers out of the new Barbara Lee administration about a different posture towards the presence of state police?
So that's a little bit complicated because when I reached out to Mayor Barbara Lee for a story that I wrote recently for the Oakland Side regarding Dr. Boomer's death and whether that influences her perception on, you know, CHP's presence in Oakland. Unfortunately, she did not respond to my inquiry. Though on the campaign trail, when she was running for mayor of Oakland, Mayor Lee, or at the time, candidate Lee, was really, she sounded open actually to changing the Oakland Police Department's pursuit policy. And she also, I don't remember if she really expanded on her thoughts or, you know, her support for CHP's presence in Oakland. But yeah, she did seem open to, you know, changing OPD's pursuit rules. But in terms of her, you know, view on CHP's presence in Oakland, that's a little bit unclear right now.
Jose Formoso, maybe you could walk us through the policy differences between state and local police when it comes to high-speed chases. If it had been a OPD squad car that ran this plate, what restrictions would they have operated under?
Well, they likely would not have gone on that chase. At the moment, well, over the last 13, 14 years, there's been about three or four different changes to the OPD pursuit policy that there has not been with CHP. But CHP is basically allowed to chase at any moment that that they like. At the same time, they also are supposed to consider the safety of the general public. The OPD obviously does that, but their difference is that they currently have to consider the whether a person that they're following has committed a violent forcible crime, such as a rape, assault, murder, or robbery, or if they're believed to have a gun on them. And as you mentioned at the top of the show, they did not. This person, Eric Scott Hernandez Garcia, did not have those things. So at the very top, the OPD would not have been allowed to have this chase. You know, in terms of what the CHP can do or did do, you know, they did say that at the beginning of the chase that they did follow Eric, this man, and that within, I believe, 35, between a few seconds, I think that they said that they stopped following, they stopped chasing him, but that they had an overhead aircraft following him. So that's what they said that that they did in order to maintain public safety. But yeah, I mean, the history of police chase policy in Oakland over the last 13 years is very convoluted and complex, and it is a little bit more narrow than a lot of other police chases around the country. At the same time, it's also not the way that it's perceived by a lot of people in the city of Oakland as being a no chase policy. That's false. They can, police in Oakland can chase, but they have to call in a supervisor when they go above 50 miles an hour. So they're in, and they have to do that continuously, by the way. So they're in the middle of a chase. They push a button, and then they start. They can actually continuously speak to the their supervisor, tell them where they are, how that chase is going, and then they can pull back or end the chase based on what's happening. Also, it doesn't necessarily mean that they have to press the button. They also, the moment they turn on their lights, their chasing lights, their sirens, camera automatically turns on, so that everything is being recorded, so that, again, that there's evidence after the fact of what they're done and how they are conducting that chase.
The presence of all those rules and restrictions implies a history of police chases that went very wrong in Oakland.
Yeah, I mean, there's been an enormous amount of situations where police have actually affected citizens on the street, and not just in the last couple of years, but over the last 14 years. And that's the reason why there's a change in the police policy. I can think of, I mean, in 2014, an Oakland resident named Ben Comtron was killed while walking near Lake Merritt when he was hit by an OPD SUV in the middle of a chase. And that collision led to a trans family to sue the city for wrongful death and personal injury. I think they settled for close to $3 million. In 2017, a person named Chana Trahan was T-boned at an intersection by a cop. This is an OPD cop. And that person experienced like serious head injuries. In 2017, may have been one of the worst. An Oakland police officer, his name was Danny Syke Chor, ran a red light downtown and hit a motorcyclist. His name's Elliot Van Fleet. And Van Fleet lost his right leg because of the collision and suffered severe injuries. Ultimately, the city paid $12 million to compensate Van Fleet for his medical bills and all the trauma that he experienced. And I talked to Van Fleet, who no longer lives in Oakland. I think he moved down to Palm Springs, and he was still really angry that this was happening in the city, not just from OPD, but CHP, with a rush of CHP officers from Newsom. He basically told me that the monetary settlement allowed him to live, but he was still in pain and would rather have his leg than having gone through that. I will also say that in these chases, it's not just the pedestrians that are being placed in danger, but the cops themselves. And that's part of the reason why there's an enormous amount of research now, about 35 to 40 years of research, mostly done by law enforcement officials themselves, including at the Department of Justice, saying that they don't recommend extreme chasing because it does not only does it put regular people in danger, but it puts cops in danger. There's some amazing stats I can't think of right now, but actually, I think I have one here that police officers. One police officer is killed every 6 to 8 weeks in a vehicle wreck. And in Oakland, in 2018, there was a rookie police officer. His name is Jordan Wingate. He was severely injured in a police chase, and he actually had to be extricated from his car. He survived, luckily and thankfully. But when it comes to these chases, yeah, I mean, the cops are the ones that are making these chases, and they're putting their lives in danger, and cops basically are saying that they don't need to do that. They don't really need to chase for these sort of nonviolent crimes, particularly because they have found that when they let these people go, they are ultimately found and found pretty quickly and arrested, right? So if you have a well-functioning police department, and you are in constant communication, and now you have the technology that can help you with either a drone, these sort of fixed-winged aircrafts, they can really communicate and really understand where a person is. They can also use video technology from the cities, right, to figure out where people are, especially if they're using the suspect is driving around major streets, they can understand where they are. So all of the research has found that they can know where people are. They don't need to necessarily chase these people, and they can pick them up. If it's not 5 minutes later, it's 10 minutes later. These people are almost always arrested, and therefore they don't need to chase them.
It is all of that research against the expectations of every American who has grown up watching cop movies with high-speed chases and formed their expectations of what law enforcement should do based on Hollywood. Rosalind Romero, tell us about the push to change the rules in Oakland. Where's it coming from?
Yeah, so the push to change Oakland's pursuit rules can really be traced back to the perceived crime wave from after the pandemic. We remember just all of the headlines and social media videos of people robbing stores, ramming their vehicles into 7-Elevens and stealing merchandise or just straight up bibbing and commercial burglaries, just all of these awful crimes. And so with that, there was this push among several Oakland residents to make it so that OPD's pursuit policy allows for chases after these nonviolent crimes, such as commercial burglaries and bippings, property crimes like that.
Bipping is breaking a car window with a specialized tool to grab something inside.
Yes, correct. Yeah. I always assume that, it's the Bay Area, so everyone knows what that is. But yeah. So because of that, as an extension of that, there have been a few groups of residents in Oakland who have really organized, whether through email listservs or just neighborhood groups, really pushing for this relaxing of OPD's pursuit policy. So I've attended many police commission meetings over the past year or so. And during these meetings, people who organize through these groups will speak during public comments. They will address the police commission and say, you all are the reason why the Oakland Police Department cannot chase after these criminals. And I should make it clear that, so the police commission is a civilian body. It's not police officers. These are civilian volunteers who are responsible for providing recommendations, reviewing OPD's policies, practices, and procedures, and, you know, recommending best practices that align with, you know, public safety, national standards or best practices. So the police commission really hasn't, they don't really have the final authority in determining or setting OPD's pursuit policy. But a lot of residents blame the police commission because they perceive the commission as, you know, just because it's this oversight body, really holding back OPD from holding these criminals accountable. And, you know, earlier this year in January, my colleague Jose and I went to a town hall hosted by the Oakland Police Commission, where they explained the current pursuit policy and asked people or allowed people to ask questions to the police commission and some OPD officers who were there. And I would say that the majority of people who spoke up at that pursuit town hall had, you know, previously spoken at police commission meetings and were very upset with the existing policy. They wanted it changed. And some activists even called on all members, all nine members of the police commission to be ousted and replaced with people who would actually relax those restrictions. So this, you know, this group of people who want to change OPD's pursuit policy, they, you know, are extremely vocal in their criticism of both the pursuit policy and the police commission, and they really want the current chief, Police Chief Floyd Mitchell, to make changes to the existing policy.
Well, he has asked for the police commission to recommend changes, I guess, to Oakland City Council. What specific changes is he proposing?
That's right. So during a meeting last week, or no, I want to say 2 weeks ago at this point, Chief Floyd Mitchell presented a series of proposed changes that he would like to implement in the existing pursuit policy. So one of those changes would be to rescind a special directive that was implemented in 2022. And that order essentially calls for the automatic termination of a pursuit if it reaches or exceeds 50 miles per hour, with the exception being if the officer does want to continue pursuing once that speed threshold has been met, they need to obtain continuous approval from a commanding officer via radio while they're pursuing. So that order was, again, implemented in 2022 by then Police Chief Laron Armstrong. And the reason for him instituting that special directive was 2022 was a particularly dangerous year for vehicle collisions and pursuits. So that year there were two separate incidents, two bystanders who were killed and were just not involved in pursuits involving OPD. And they, you know, they were killed. And so that was the reasoning or the impetus for that special directive in 2022. Another change that Chief Mitchell suggested is making it so that officers can tell their commanding officer or supervisor that they initiated a pursuit, quote unquote, as soon as reasonably practical. So the current rules are that an officer needs to obtain permission to initiate a chase before they initiate it, and then, you know, notify their supervisor as they continue chasing. So when you make it so that these officers have to notify a supervisor, quote, as soon as reasonably practical, several critics have mentioned, like, this is essentially erasing accountability for the Oakland Police Department, because, you know, they can essentially chase, and then if they didn't notify a supervisor in a timely fashion, they could have said, oh, well, you know, the stress of a pursuit and the adrenaline was rushing, and I, you know, didn't think to notify my supervisor at the time. But I told them as soon as reasonably practical. So those are the changes that Chief Mitchell has proposed and wants the police commission to consider. And the police commission has three options. They can either reject Chief Mitchell's recommendations. They can approve them. Or they can, you know, suggest their own changes. But they're supposed to, the police commission is supposed to bring forward their final decision to the Oakland City Council in the next few weeks or months. It's unclear when that would be.
Jose, final note I wanted to end on. Reading about this history of deadly police chases in Oakland, I couldn't help but think about Oakland's built environment. I mean, it's just a city that's had one freeway after another blasted through it and traffic arterials on streets. People can't have high-speed chases down narrow streets that aren't meant to facilitate the fast movement of traffic. Is there any discussion at all at just, like, making Oakland a harder place to speed recklessly through?
It's been one of the most important and significant points of conversation over the last few years. Something that, you know, we started the beat of traffic violence about 5 years ago at Oakland side, and it was something that we did it partly because people from the community wanted to talk about the poor nature of the built environment, as you describe it, right? So that means that for about 70 years, that the focus on any sort of infrastructure in and around Oakland has been on the freeways and facilitating the movement of cars. That also means that the local roads have been pretty much left alone, which made them crumple. There's potholes everywhere, right? This is 60, 70 years of this. It wasn't until 2017 when the Oakland Department of Transportation was created to really start thinking about how to create a system to really build up the roads, to really slow down traffic, right? Because this is everybody who's lived in Oakland for the last few decades has said that this is an issue. And so for the last few years, they've tried to repave the roads. They've tried to add more speed bumps and more stop signs and more, lights at the corners. But all that costs a lot of money. So and Oakland, as people probably know who are listening, doesn't have a ton of money to spend. But they have had a lot of money. They've received a lot of grant funding over the last 6-7 years. And yet still, you can't change the roads in 6 to 7 years when there's 70 years of poor infrastructure. When it comes to the issue that happened with Marvin Boomer, it's almost like it's something that happened with a lot of the issues that are happening in Oakland, including the police chases. But as you mentioned, it's a road design issue as well. When I was reporting on it last week, I went up and down East 21st Street, which was the last part of where the chase happened. And, at 12th is where Eric Scott Hernandez Garcia ended up colliding into the fire hydrant and killing Mr. Marvin Boomer. That street does not have any speed bumps. It kind of goes up and down, and it incites speeding. Like you mentioned a few minutes ago about how people watch TV and movies and becomes this exciting situation where you're kind of like speeding up and down. Feels like you're in a movie, and the movie Bullet from 30, 40 years ago. That street doesn't have speed bumps. It has two or three stop signs, all of which were bypassed when this man Eric was driving up and down. So there's no physical structure to actually have stopped them.
The other thing I mentioned, the potholes.
I don't think we're going to have time for the other thing, unfortunately, because we've run out. Jose Fermoso, Rosalind Romero, thank you both of you for speaking to us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Jose Fermoso covers road safety, transportation, and public health for the Oakland side. Rosalind Romero is at the same outlet covering public safety.